The Bible said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works and thy thoughts are very deep. Now I'm going to try to make it beyond that verse this evening. If the Lord will help us, let's read on. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Amen. It's like the psalmist is saying, it doesn't matter what the fool does. It doesn't matter what the wicked do. It doesn't matter how high they spring up or how big they flourish. They ain't ever going to be higher than God is. Amen. And I thank God for that. Amen. We look around and maybe I'll get to it, maybe I won't, but we look around, we see the wicked prospering and growing on every hand. But Brother Mike, they'll never get bigger than God is. They'll never be stronger than God. And they'll never be higher than God is. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thank you for standing. That's all 15 verses. What a psalm this is tonight. We believe that David likely is the human instrument and hand that God has used to pen this great psalm. And as we consider the aspect of this psalm, as we've read it in its entirety, there is no indication in the heading of this psalm, even that David wrote it. That's our study, our belief. And the occasion is not mentioned necessarily other than that it is a psalm for the Sabbath day. It would appear in this psalm that David is penning this psalm at a time of warfare, and a time of dealing with some foe or some enemy that has come against him. He acknowledges that there are those that are God's enemies, and yet he acknowledges there are those, no doubt, that are God's enemies that have become David's personal foe. In this psalm, we find again in the heading of this psalm that it is a psalm to be sung for the Sabbath day. And though we don't worship on the Sabbath day, we don't gather on the Sabbath day, I guess we could if we desired to, but our appointed day of worship in the New Testament age of grace is the Lord's Day, that is the first day of the week. And doesn't mean that this psalm is not a source of inspiration to you and I, for the theme of this psalm is that of thanksgiving. Being thankful, the Jew would be thankful as they sung this psalm, would be thankful on the Sabbath day, but you and I can be thankful every day, but especially upon the Lord's day. Amen. And so we're looking at this psalm and the theme of it being a psalm of thanksgiving. It begins with the statement, it is a good thing. It is a good thing. And so there's a lot of things the Bible would say are good things. The will of God, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We would look at in 1 Timothy 3, 1, the work of God is a good thing. In Jeremiah 6, 16, the way of God is a good thing. And I thought about another one I've not given you yet, but But the Bible said, I believe it's in the book of Malachi, if I'm not mistaken, that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I thought about this in light, and we understand that in the human realm and in our relationships as husband and wife. But I thought about it. Amen. The wife of God is a good thing. There is such a thing as the bride of Christ. And Jesus is still finding a bride. Amen. And the wife or the church of the Lord, it is a good thing. And so it's a good thing we're here tonight. Amen. The bride is a good thing. And then in Psalm 92 and in verse number 1, we see the worship of God is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Good meaning well-pleasing. Good meaning fruitful, morally correct, proper, appealing, and pleasant. Good in the sense that to give thanks unto the Lord is the better of two alternatives. It is better to be thankful than it is to be unthankful. It is better to be grateful-hearted than to be an ingrate in your heart. And so it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And with that in mind, we're preaching through Psalm 92 on the thought, the goodness of gratefulness. Amen. What it is to give thanks unto the Lord. What we find as we give thanks unto the Lord and what makes that such a good thing in our life. And so we're looking at, we began on Sunday morning, looking at verses 1 through 5, where we see the appreciation. In this psalm, we see the appreciation in the goodness of our gratefulness. The psalmist here takes a very personal look at what it is to be appreciative to the Lord for His works, for His name, for His position, and we'll see here in a moment, for the fact that God is mindful of you and me. Notice what he said here. I seen this just a moment ago, and I've been studying this psalm for several weeks and haven't seen this yet until I just read this text to you a moment ago. Brother Tim, notice here the personal tone the psalmist takes on. He says as he begins his verse, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. He is telling himself that. He is telling Brother Jack, others that are around him on this Sabbath day that is coming together to be a part of corporate and public worship. He is telling them it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. He is telling you and I after all of these years here, amen, in a completely different dispensation of time. It is a good thing for y'all to give thanks to the Lord. But notice how the tone changes and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Do you see he's speaking in the first line to himself and to others and all that read this psalm. Amen. But immediately he turns his attention to glory and he gives his attention to the Lord. It is right to give. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to sing praises to your name. Amen. Why? Because you are the Most High. And so the appreciation is not that he is going to expect everybody else, amen, to do it for him, but that he is personally going to be involved in showing his appreciation. Amen. And I dealt with this maybe a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Amen. Last Wednesday night. Amen. The psalmist here is definitely not waiting on others to give the Lord thanks. Amen. He ain't going to ride their coattails. He ain't going to do it because everybody else is doing it. Even though he says that would be a good thing. Amen. It's not just good for others to do it. He said, I'm going to do it myself. And so we see the appreciation. Amen. We look quickly at the timing of our appreciation, verse 2. And we're to do it in the morning time and every night. Amen. We're to give thanks in the morning and every night. Amen. And as such, we are to acknowledge and recognize and be so close to God and in tune to what He is doing in our life, every hour that God would do something for us in the course of a day. Amen. That would be an appropriate time to thank Him for what He has done. We looked at the themes on Sunday morning of our appreciation. Amen. The psalmist said, I'm going to show forth thy loving kindness and thy faithfulness. Amen. And so the loving kindness of God and the faithfulness of God are those themes that ought to be the inspiration for our thanksgiving. And God would be filled with loving kindness toward you and me. And that God would extend His faithfulness to you and me. Amen. Is a wondrous theme of God throughout our life. Amen. I bless His holy name for it. Amen. And then we looked at the thrust of our appreciation in verse number 3. Amen. As the psalmist speaks about an instrument of 10 strings. An instrument of 10 strings. And a stringed instrument is an instrument that is sounded with the thrust of the hand. And so the thrust here, with the 10-stringed instrument, is a depiction of our lives showing our appreciation. Not just thanks that is spoken and thanks that is sung, but thanks that is shown through the way we live our life. Amen. Living our life in holiness, living our life. Amen. The thrust of our life being lived in the will of God. Our lives being thrusted in the ways in which God is directing. Amen. In response to what God is doing, we live a holy life. And as such, we are living and depicting our thanks to God. Amen. God is more interested in us showing our thanks than saying our thanks. And what a blessed way to show God how appreciative we are for the things that He does in our life. And then we ended on number 4 in verse 4 on Sunday morning, the triumph of our appreciation. As we look there, the triumph, David said, as the child of God begins to consider and then commend God for the works that He is doing. A psalmist said, it is in that I am made glad, and in that I triumph. And what a benefit and what a product of gratefulness. No wonder the psalmist said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. God acknowledges it to be a good thing. But my, what good things it gives to you and I. And so, Brother Tim, there's a spirit of victory. As we are appreciative to the Lord, our faces brighten. Amen. Gladness enters our heart. And a joy of the Lord begins to radiate from our face when we consider and begin to be appreciative to the Lord. That gladness soon turns to triumph. And into victory, triumph simply meaning to shout. Amen. David said, I find things to shout about when I began to be grateful hearted. Amen. So long as we're doom and gloom, and so long as, my friend, we're focused on the horizontal realm. Amen. And what the earthly eye can see will be pouting, but amen. When we get that vertical view and get our eyes on God, we find, amen, a shouting spirit that, amen, makes us glad and causes us to triumph. Amen. Thank God for that. You say, I don't believe it. I double dog dare you to try it. Amen. I know what it's like. Y'all do know what a double dog dare is, don't you? Amen. If you make a double dog dare, that means I done it. Now you got to do it. Amen. And I have done it. And God knows in days we're living in, Amen. We'll all have to do it if we're going to have any victory at all. Amen. And so I would challenge you, get along with the Lord riding down the road. Amen. If you're too embarrassed and ashamed to do it in public, amen, do it in private and just go down the road and start saying, Lord, I thank you for this and I thank you for that, and just name your blessings one by one. Amen. And watch what not that the victory of the Lord will flood your soul. Amen. And so we're looking at the appreciation, the goodness of gratefulness. Amen. The psalmist deals with appreciation. Amen. And so look with me in verse number 5, where we see he goes from the timing and the themes and the thrust and the triumph to where David settles in about the thoughts in our appreciation. Amen. And no doubt the psalmist David has been allowing his thoughts to be on the works of God. Amen. That's what he speaks about in verse number 2. He speaks of thinking about the loving kindness and faithfulness of God. He said there in verse number 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And so the indication there is I'm pondering, I'm thinking about the work that God is doing in my life. He gets very, very clear about that in verse number 4, or verse number 5 rather, where he said, O Lord, how great are thy works. And I dealt with the exclamation point in passing on Sunday morning. Amen. In other words, he is saying the more I think about what God has done and what God is doing, and later in the psalm he's thinking about what God is going to do, it is exciting him within his heart, amen, dwelling upon and thinking about what God, amen, is doing in his life. Amen. O Lord, how great are thy works. I'm thinking about, amen, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. And all I can say is what God has done, is doing, and going to do, amen, is not a small thing in my life, but is a great thing in my life. Amen. And so we find here that the psalmist is thinking about, amen, thinking about the works of God. But notice here what he said in verse number 5, where David said, and thy thoughts. Amen. He's had his own thoughts in verses 1 through verse number, the opening of verse number 5. He's had his own thoughts about God and about what God is doing in his life. But Brother A.L., amen, we believe every word's important now. Notice what the psalmist said, and thy thoughts are very deep. And so if we're going to be appreciative of the Lord, amen, we've got to have our own thoughts dwelling upon what God is doing. But in that, what you're going to come to a conclusion about is what the psalmist came to a conclusion about, is that if God is doing all these great things in my life, He's not just doing that, but in doing that, he is thinking about me. Amen. And so God doesn't just flippantly throw out words, and God doesn't just accidentally spill his loving kindness. The psalmist is saying that thoughts are very deep. And God would think about us and would be cognizant and aware and care about where we are and what we're going through and what we need. Amen. The psalmist said, the more I think about what God is doing, I'm aware that God is thinking upon me. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Amen. God does care about you. And God is thinking about you. And God is aware about you and your family and this church and his children and what we face in these days. Amen. Our thoughts about him are wondrous. And we'll never be appreciative without that. And can I say one of the things we ought to be thankful for tonight, amen, beyond what God is doing, is that God's thoughts about us, amen, are not shallow thoughts. If He just had shallow thoughts and passing thoughts of you and I, amen, that would be more than we deserve. Amen. But notice what the psalmist said. He said, Lord, I'm thinking about what you do it, and it blows my mind. And God thinks about me, and that the thoughts of the Lord, amen, about my life, they are very deep. In other words, the psalmist is saying, amen, God, you must be thinking about me all the time. You must have me on your mind in every situation I'm going through. And Lord, I can't even fathom that somebody like you would ponder about somebody like me. Amen. And David said, I just can't understand the depths of that. I can't understand how deep that thought really is that God thinks about me. Now, that won't mean much to you if you think you're God's gift to God. Amen. And you're all high and mighty and think you got everything nailed down. Amen. But if you'll find your place at the humble table of God, amen, and began to think that I'm a nobody. I don't deserve anything from God, much less God. Amen, to have me, little old me, on His mind. And yet He does every moment of every day, every situation, every battle we face, everything, every trial we go through. And God would think about us. Amen. No wonder the psalmist said, Brother Gerald, amen, how deep. Your thoughts are very deep. Amen. I'm mindful now. I don't understand that. Amen. And I can't comprehend that. I just intend on enjoying it again tonight, preaching it for a minute. Amen. I'm mindful of what the Lord said. Amen. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. They some people I wouldn't think a whole lot of tonight. Amen. They some folk you wouldn't think a whole lot of tonight. Amen. We'd have maybe give up on them a long time ago. Amen. But God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. God thinks deeper than we do. Amen. God, obviously being an omniscient God, amen, knows the end from the beginning. And thank God His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. What about Psalm 8 in verse number 4? I believe it is. And the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. What is man that the God of glory, amen, our Creator that we've turned our back on? Amen. The God that, my friend, has been so good to you and I, and yet we take it for granted so many days. Amen. The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, we ain't much better than beasts. We'll see later on in the psalm. Amen. We're a bunch of brutish men and brutish women of many a day. And yet the psalmist said, I can't believe that God would be mindful of man. Amen. Man that has turned their back on a sovereign God. A man that has gone astray after his own way. A man that is vile and man that is wicked. And man that, my friend, has no understanding or interest in God. And yet the psalmist said, I can't believe that a God like you would be mindful of men like us. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for that tonight. Had God's thoughts toward you and I not been deep. And my friend, His thoughts about us have been that of the world's thoughts about its own dead. Surely, my friend, we'd have no salvation. We'd have nothing tonight. Amen. But the psalmist said, Lord, your works in my life, amen, how great are they, and thy thoughts are very deep. Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. Can I give you another verse? Look at this one with me if you would. In Psalm 139 and in verse number 17, Psalm 139, And in verse number 17, amen, listen to this. The Bible said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And so there's two things this psalmist here is excited about. It connects us to our text in verse number 5 tonight. And that is, the psalmist said, Lord, how great is the sum of them. That is his thoughts to you and me. Amen. In other words, Lord, I can't count up all the ways that you must be thinking about me. You don't think about me a little. You don't think about me a minimal amount. Lord, you think about me. And when we begin to add them up, it is a great sum of thoughts that you have about me. Amen. Hey, child of God, you may not think much of yourself. Others may not think upon you very much. But the psalmist said that God, when it comes to his children, and my friend, those thoughts, how great is the sum of them. Amen, you can't add them up, you can't. Amen, there's no way you can even comprehend just how much God thinks about you. The word or the phrase that begins this tells you and I that of the greatness and the sum of those thoughts, that those thoughts that God has about you and me as his children, Brother Jeremy, he said, they are precious. Amen. Amen. You say, what does God think about me? God thinks you're precious. Amen. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. Amen. Because I follow me around every waking moment of the day. Amen. I know me better than you know me. And if I knew you like I know me, I wouldn't think you was very precious either. My friend, the God who thinks great, great sums about us and knows everything about our life, David said, and when God begins to think about me, amen, he has precious thoughts. See, amen, that word precious, you say, what does that mean? Amen, it means valuable or something very rare. And God finds his children valuable. And Brother A.L., he finds you and I to be commodities, to be something unique and something very rare. I'm glad, thank God. Amen. What a personal, I believe there's not only a thought of being precious here, amen, but that God has personal thoughts. He don't lump his soul in one boat. Amen. And though he loves the world, he loves you and I. Amen. In very unique and very personal ways. And the psalmist said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, oh God. Amen. Can I say tonight, God thinks you're precious? Amen. You say, I don't even think I'm precious. Don't matter what you think. Amen. God's thoughts are, amen, that we are precious when that settle in on us tonight. I know that's very deep. I know we can't swim to the bottom of that. Amen. Of that well this evening. Amen. But would that not stir you and I to say, amen, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And his thoughts, he's got a bunch of thoughts about me. And the sum of all of them is that, amen, God counts me to be precious to him. Amen. No wonder the psalmist said, amen, I'm going to thank him and I'm going to sing praise unto the Lord. Amen. When he thought about the thoughts of God toward him. Amen. Amen. And so we find, amen, we find that, amen, that the psalmist said they're very deep. Can I give you one more verse? And I'm going to have to end. I'm going to have to end. I don't want to end, but I'm going to have to. Amen. Let me give you one more verse. I'm doing the best I can here. Look with me in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. You know this verse. You may not have known the reference. Some of you may have, but you've heard this verse preached from or quoted before. And I trust you'll highlight it, circle it, underline it, commit it to memory. in light of the fact that you say, preacher, what? What ought to inspire me to be appreciate and to show appreciation to the Lord? Amen. Well, look at this. Amen. The Lord speaking, Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. The Lord said now, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, time out a minute. Amen. If I read that verse and I stop right there, I'll be honest with you, there's something on the inside that goes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Amen. When I just read that line, God, if God was to come down tonight and look me eyeball to eyeball and say, I know the thoughts I have toward you. But Jack, I'd probably start hanging my head in shame. I'd probably say, oh Lord, do I really have to hear it? And I would be expecting some sort of scolding. Amen. I would be expecting some sort of, amen, chastening voice and correcting message. It would maybe go something like this. Let better you know better than. But notice what the Lord said, and I'm not saying God don't say that at times. Amen. But notice what He wants you and I to hear. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God said, what I want you, now you got to read the whole chapter and you'll find, amen, it's all balanced out. God had some thoughts about them because of their sin. And He deals in the fact they've been enslaved and in captivity. And the judgment of God fell on them because God did not think well about their sin. And now He's coming to them with a message of hope. He's coming to them with a message of encouragement to inspire them, amen, to turn back to God. And that is, yes, amen, I didn't think a whole lot about, amen, the way you turn your back on me, amen, but what you need to also understand is, I know the thoughts and I think toward you that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen, I'm glad tonight when the Lord thinks about you and me. Amen, there is a sign of the grace and the love of Almighty God. And God has peaceful thoughts. And God is not interested in being my enemy. God is not interested in warring with me. Amen. God is not interested in teaching me a lesson. And God has thoughts concerning you and me. And are thoughts of peace. Not of evil. God gets no pleasure out of beating the daylights out of us. Though some days He does. We go to the woodshed and I don't enjoy it at all. Amen. But God said, I would rather give you peace than to deal with you in a harsh way. I'm thankful that that's my God tonight. No wonder the psalmist said, thy thoughts are very deep. Amen. I'm glad that my friend them days, amen, after the Lord has scolded me and has, amen, chasing me and dealt with me in some real hard ways. And Brother Gerald, there's another voice that comes from the Lord and said, I'm thinking about you, son. Amen. I don't want you to stay where you're at. I don't want you to go down the road you're going. And so what I want you to know is that the thoughts that I have toward you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. What's this? I've never preached from this verse, and I'm preaching just kind of around it tonight. I need to preach from it sometime. Can I give you a little nugget here? He said, and to give you an expected end. An expected end. God's saying, my thoughts toward you, they have an expected end. The word expected. But Tim, you like this. It's got several definitions, but one of the ideas behind it is a line or a cord. In fact, This blessed my heart when I seen it, and I hadn't had time to study it real deep, but I got enough of it. I about had a shouting spell, Brother Jack. Brother Larry, in Joshua chapter 2, when the men went into Jericho, the spies were there. You remember they came in the house of a harlot named Rahab? Amen. And Rahab said, "Hey, when y'all come back and you bring judgment, oh, I'm about to have a spell. When the judgment of God is getting ready to fall upon this city, will y'all remember me? Will y'all remember that I had some kindness on you? And I fear your God, and I love your God. I want to know your God. I want to worship your God. Do you think your God would let y'all have mercy on me?" Y'all remember what they said? They said, "Oh yes, God has seen what you have done. God knows that you fear Him, and God is interested in a harlot like you." And you remember what they said? They said, "All you got to do is hang this scarlet line out of your window, and you and everybody in your house, amen, that is here when we come back, amen, the Lord will be mindful of them and spare their life." The word in Joshua 2 is line. A scarlet line. Amen. That's the same. And I don't mean to say, I'm not smart as this makes me sound. I'm not a Jew. I don't speak Hebrew. Amen. But you can do your own word study. Amen. That word line is the same word expected. Amen. They said, amen, what they were saying when that line was hung out, that scarlet line, there was a scarlet thread, amen, that was representative, amen, of God thinking about Rahab, of God being mindful of her and the relationship she desired to have with the Lord. Amen, she was bound to God. Amen, God was bound to her. Amen, there was an expected end that when everyone else is going to fall in judgment and the wrath of God would be poured out upon that city. Amen. Rahab, amen, had an expected end. Glory to God. And I say today, amen, there is bound to my soul a scarlet line, an expected end. Amen, the blood of Christ ties me to God Almighty. And when the judgment and the wrath of God is poured out on this world, amen, thank God He's thought about me. Amen, He is mindful of me. He is my friend, had thoughts of peace about me. And thank God the line and the cord that binds me to God, amen, gives me an expected end. You say it looks like we're headed to a lot of evil. Looks like it. If you listen to the news today, amen, there's a lot of evil in this world. But I promise you, amen, the thoughts God has for His own result in an expected end. Amen, this world's going to burn up. She's going to face all sorts of plagues. And vials and trumpets and devils of hell, amen, are literally going to run this world, my friend, over. Thank God, God is mindful of His own and He has saved us, amen, from the wrath that is to come. Amen, you say, "Preacher, I feel like there's been all sorts of evil done to me." God ain't done it. Amen, God has thoughts of peace. And whatever we've been through and whatever we face, amen, the psalmist said, "Your thoughts are very deep." Amen. And you have thoughts toward us. Amen. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Amen. To give us an expected end. We coming out of this thing. Amen. I'm glad I'm bound to the Lord. I hope that makes sense. I'm glad there's a line, there's a cord tied to this old boy. Amen. It's tied to God on the other end. Amen. You say, how you know this thing's going to turn out? Because I've got an expected end. God done thought it out. God's done thought it out. Amen. You'd think we'd go, man, that his thoughts of me are very deep, and that we'd go, no wonder it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Don't mean you ain't going to crash in days. Don't mean you're not going to have grief. It doesn't mean that your heart ain't going to be broken. Buddy, every tear that rolls down our cheek, God is mindful of his own. Personal thoughts, peaceful thoughts, amen, precious thoughts, hallelujah, promised thoughts. I ain't got none of that wrote down. You girls, write that down. Give it to Dad later, amen. Hallelujah, he's thinking about you. Appreciation ought to be given for that. When you go home here in just a minute and you pillow your head right before you doze off, won't you say, Lord, thank you for thinking about me. Amen. Anybody ever feel like God ain't thinking about you? I've been there. Lord, do you care? Are you even thinking about me? You know what God does? God says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. And I got to say, oh, how precious, Lord, are your thoughts to me. Amen. All right, I'm done.